Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where the new president, and yes, he's still a new president. He hasn't even been president for 100 days yet. The new president got elected on one promise above all, and the exit polls show it. The one area where people overwhelmingly chose Joe Biden over Donald J. Trump was the question of national unity, the idea of bringing the country together. That was a theme that the President Biden hit again and again. And even as he was a bit disappointing with that in the early days of his administration, there was always the idea, well, don't worry, Joe Manchin is there. And Joe Manchin will keep the Senate balanced. There's a couple of columns that have been written recently by Mark Thiessen, who is a former aide to President Bush and nationally syndicated columnist for the Washington Post, writing on foreign and domestic policy. He's also a fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a Fox News contributor. And Mark says it may be too late now for bipartisanship. And that basically Joe Biden and Joe Manchin, the double Joes, have done everything possible to blow up even the possibility. Mark, it's great to speak to you. Let's talk about Senator Manchin first, because he was really supposed to be the big Republican hope of blocking anything too radical. What happened?
Well, first of all, he became the Republican hope only because Republicans lost the Senate races in Georgia, which is we're just discovering how catastrophic the 6 weeks of spending all of our time relitigating the 2020 election instead of trying to win, it could maintain control of the Senate have been. The price of that is $1.9 trillion in counting. So Joe Manchin wouldn't be in this position if Republicans hadn't blown it. But Joe Manchin promised that he was going to be a voice for bipartisanship. He said, I'm not going to get rid of the filibuster. I'm going to make sure the minority has a voice. And when 10 Senate Republicans went to Joe Biden on February 2nd and said to the president, you know, you said you wanted it, that Republicans and Democrats, when we don't cooperate, it's a choice we make. And so we need to choose to cooperate. Okay, we choose to cooperate. Here's an offer of $619 billion. It's an opening bid. But, you know, we can negotiate. Let's talk. And basically, Biden told him to go jump in a lake. He did it very politely and very nicely and without vitriol, but he told him, I don't need your votes. We're going to go through reconciliation. On that day, Joe Manchin said, he appeared on Fox News with Bret Baier and said, I am going to make sure my Republican friends have a voice in this, and we're not going to do it. If the Democrats think they're going to ram something down their throat, they've got another thing coming, and I'm going to make sure this bill is bipartisan. If it's not bipartisan, it's not going to happen. And then he voted for it. So, you know, I now take with a grain of salt anything that Joe Manchin says when it comes to standing with his Republican friends and making sure things are bipartisan, because he completely capitulated when it came to the COVID relief bill.
Mark, I'm sure you've heard the optimistic side of this conversation. The optimistic side of this conversation is that this bill is unusually popular because it sends everybody money, and it polls very well. It seems to be supported by a majority of Republican voters, independent voters, Democratic voters, certainly almost unanimously. But that other stuff that Biden tries to do, for instance, immigration reform, or even this infrastructure package, is just not going to have that same kind of popular backing. So you won't see people like Manchin necessarily going over to the other side, or Joe Biden trying to do things with just Democratic votes. What's wrong with that argument?
What's wrong with it is that, one, I think the next thing he's going to do is going to be infrastructure, and infrastructure is incredibly popular. If you go to West Virginia, it's got the nicest highways in America because of Robert C. Byrd. In fact, the Robert C. Byrd Highway is probably the nicest, least traveled, and smoothest highway in the lower 48. And Joe Manchin wants to bring home bridges and tunnels and roads and infrastructure. So he's got every incentive to go to get an infrastructure bill passed. And second, the Democrats are already saying they're not planning to go bipartisan. We just had the hot mic incident with Pete Buttigieg, where Senator Cardin was telling him, "Yeah, we're going to have to go with reconciliation again." The Republicans will just talk to us for a little while, but they're never going to come along. So let's just go with reconciliation. That's what they're going to do. You know, the irony is that if Biden really wanted to do a bipartisan bill, and Republicans were offering, when it came to COVID, were offering $619 billion, and that wasn't enough. He really wanted a big number. He could have done two things. He could have said, let's meet in the middle and do $1 trillion, you know, and we'll do the stuff we agree on. Or he could have said, I really want a big number, so let's do infrastructure. You guys support $1 trillion of infrastructure. Let's do your, you know, some, there's more, a little bit more on COVID and $1 trillion of infrastructure. He would have had the votes to do it. But then he wouldn't be able to go back and do it again on reconciliation for the next $2 to $4 trillion. So they're going to try and ram through as much spending they can on a partisan basis. And if Republicans try to block it, then they're going to go get rid of the filibuster and use it as an excuse, saying they're just obstructionists. They don't want to do anything with us, and so we've got no choice. We have to get rid of the filibuster.
So what's the Mitch McConnell was speaking about that today on the Senate floor. But what is the best strategy for Mitch McConnell to follow in the light of this difficult situation, where you don't want to really defy public opinion, where you don't really disagree? And Republicans do agree we should spend something on infrastructure. So yeah. What's the Republican line here?
So first of all, the Republican line on COVID, because now Joe Biden is going on this tour of battleground states, and the Democrats are putting up ads attacking the Republicans who voted against it, because, you know, we're in this era of unity and bipartisanship. So that's what we do, less than 100 days into the presidency, is we attack the people who voted against the bill that offered to work with you. He should say, we support all the things that Joe Biden is talking about in these meetings. We support it. It's the $1 trillion of special interest giveaways we don't support. It's the $414 billion in COVID checks to people who didn't lose any money in the pandemic that were opposed. It's the bailouts of $83 billion bailout of the pension funds that's been mismanaged for decades without any reform that we're opposed to. So he's got to make clear that they support, the Republicans did support and do support the COVID parts of the bill. And would have been willing to work with the president. And the only reason he didn't work with them is because they were going to oppose all the special interest stuff. And the same goes true with infrastructure. Joe Biden, if they want to do a highway bill, we're all for it. But if they want to do some climate change, Green New Deal masked as a highway bill, they're not going to be for it. And, you know, but they have to have the posture of, we want to work with the president. The president is not willing to work with us, because then they go to the voters in 2022 and say, Joe Biden campaigned as a lie. You elected him to work with us. We reached out our hand at every opportunity to work with him on the things we agree on, and he slapped our hand away. And so this is the unity you promised. It's worse than it was under Trump, just nicer.
What about the idea of something that really he cannot do with reconciliation? He can't do immigration reform with reconciliation. He's going to need the 60 votes or to get rid of the filibuster. Which way is Biden going to turn when he finally gets ready to actually deal with what is a very serious and alarming situation at our border?
Well, there's sort of the that's where he's misplayed his hand in a big way, because the American people generally support some sort of immigration compromise. They support a path to citizenship, certainly for the Dreamers and for the people who are already here. But the prerequisite in most people's minds is a secure border, right? Well, the people who are already here, we're going to figure out a way to normalize them, but you got to secure the border so we control who's coming in. And by undoing all of the good things that Donald Trump did in the border, all of us, except for a very, very small minority, opposed family separation. But that ended a long time ago. But the Remain in Mexico policy and the three country agreement with Honduras and Guatemala.
Yes.
We're all
wish we could bring it back, and wish we could bring you back for more. Mark Thiessen, you can read his latest columns. They're posted our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back. first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5-6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. Big questions. Are religion and science constantly, inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times best-selling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that reveal the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners. Free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, an invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the EV stocks boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot EV sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Here's just one example of what you can get with the information delivery system from Metals Industry Report. The electronic vehicles market could see a compounded annual growth rate of around 21.1% through 2026, turning into a multi-trillion dollar industry. Text tech to 48542 for more info on the EV market and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with your free subscription to the Metals Industry Report. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word tech to 48542. Text now to get your free subscription from Metals Industry Report. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Text the word tech to 48542. Text tech to 48542.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Michael Medved show, there is a horrible story, but it's important from San Diego, which is really a wonderful city. It's a city where I largely grew up. My parents moved to San Diego when I was six, and then we lived there. I went to my first year in high school to San Diego, and then we moved. But in San Diego, which has, by the way, one of the lowest crime rates in the country, It is, people who visited there, you know, it's a beautiful city, a functional city in a way that San Francisco and Los Angeles certainly are not. When you hear just the headline horrific from San Diego, it gets your attention. At least three people were killed yesterday morning when a 71-year-old man who was allegedly driving under the influence plowed into a homeless encampment on a sidewalk near San Diego City College. I know exactly where that is. The San Diego Fire Rescue Department said the driver, who was identified Monday evening as Craig Voss, hit a total of nine people in a tunnel underneath the downtown college at around 9 a.m. local time. Three individuals were pronounced dead on the scene, while the other six were transported to a local hospital. Voss, who's a San Diego resident, was arrested and charged with three counts of manslaughter, five counts of causing great bodily harm. He was driving a Volvo station wagon, and he surrendered to authorities. The way he was driving down the sidewalk, it was like he didn't take his foot off the gas until he got to the other side of the street, said a witness to KGTV. I'm like, whoa, is this guy ever going to stop? Others arrived at the tunnel shortly before detaining the driver. Authorities say at least five dozen firefighters were sent to the scene to help the injured pedestrians. The tunnel is reportedly popular among homeless people who take shelter in tents on the sidewalks. San Diego Police Department Chief David Nislett said the police had received a call minutes before the deadly crash about the same Volvo. Authorities are also looking at video surveillance footage of the Volvo moments before the crash. It appears that though the car was traveling westbound when the driver lost control and began to veer to the right. The car then went completely up on the sidewalk, struck multiple pedestrians before Voss was able to get back on the road and stop. After the crash, the driver appeared to walk over to the victims and try to help them. So this is not apparently a terrorist action. You may remember there have been a bunch of these episodes, some in the United States and many in Europe, where Islamic terrorists have used automobiles to knock down pedestrians. But this apparently was not that. Could it be some kind of hate crime against homeless people? I mean, you wonder. San Diego City College is a very lovely campus. I don't know what the enrollment is right now, but it's big. And it's a busy campus. Can you imagine that even a city like San Diego, they can't manage to deal with homeless people camped under in a tunnel below the campus right there, who are in their tents at 9 in the morning when this car plows into them? The entire story is horrible in just about every way. And not so horrible, though the governor of California wants to make it so, is the recall effort that we talked about before, where the polling indicates there's an excellent chance of Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, former mayor of San Francisco, former lieutenant governor of California, widely seen as a potential presidential contender if he survives this recall. He was on The View, and here's what he said today about the recall effort against him. This is clip four.
So, Governor, you say that this recall effort has ties to the same extremist groups that stormed the Capitol. But organizers claim more than a third of signatures are from Democrats, independents, and unaffiliated voters, mad that your pandemic policies shuttered businesses and schools. Are both true?
Well, the chief proponent of this, and forgive me, this is just objective truth. The chief proponent of this recall petition supports putting microchips into migrants, into immigrants. The other proponents, the top 10 proponents, the people that are behind this, are members of the Three Percenters, the right-wing militia group, the Proud Boys, supported the insurrection, are folks that quite literally, enthusiastically support QAnon conspiracies. And so that's the origin here.
Okay, that's unfair and overstated, and so much so that even over at CNN, a contributor there and a political reporter named Maeve Reston had this to say to what the governor just indicated, that it's Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and Three Percenters who are the only ones who oppose his enlightened reign. Here's the response at CNN, clip 5.
Obviously, when the recall effort got last year, he completely ignored it. And then when it picked up steam, particularly over the holidays, when he had put in a second set of stay-at-home orders that angered a lot of people, he would sort of answer questions about the recall by brushing them off and defending his leadership during the pandemic. But now this is a media blitz like nothing that we have seen over the last 2 days. And what it tells you is that the recall most likely will qualify and that they know that there's significant risk here. California is one of those states where it's very easy to get a recall on the ballot. It's a lot harder to actually recall a governor, particularly because of the Democrats vastly outnumber Republicans here, but this is a more broad-based effort than those ads are making it out to be, and they know that they really have to tell their side of the story and try to define the narrative at this pivotal moment here.
Okay, and it is a pivotal moment where Governor Newsom, and I think part of his now desperate attempt to try to block the recall, it's too late. The deadline is Wednesday, and people are saying, as you just heard, that it is very likely they will have a number of votes to put it on the ballot. When it goes on the ballot, he's not running against Oath Keepers and Three Percenters and Proud Boys. He's running against a former mayor of San Diego, who is a moderate Republican who will have significant appeal to independents and to all those people who are disillusioned with Newsom. There's another recent poll done at UC Berkeley where only 46% of registered voters say they approve of the job he's doing as governor. And they haven't even started yet with the negative ads that are going to be part of any recall effort. We will get to that and recall the Oscars, that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin? And as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Power grid failures and natural disasters, they happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democrats are actively selling the new stimulus bill.
America is turning the corner, and I think the attitude of Americans is turning the corner as well. People now see a brighter future for this country and their regions.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer opening the Senate, saying the nearly $2 trillion package will give small businesses and workers a huge boost. The bill being touted also as a COVID-19 relief bill, but less than 10% of the money going to the bill is actually towards COVID relief. More than one out of four adult Americans have gotten at least one COVID-19 shot. The CDC says that means nearly 71 million Americans have some protection against the coronavirus. The Federal Health Agency also says close to 1 in 10 Americans are now fully vaccinated. That announcement comes as half the states roll back pandemic restrictions. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Michael Medved show. Usually when they announce the Oscar nominations, there's a certain flurry of excitement and people say, oh, this is going to be a favorite. There's indignation about what they call Oscar snubs. I always hate that terminology. It always annoys me because it's as if, oh, you're not invited to this party. And this year is just so different. And I actually think it's because there are shockingly few people other than people who are professional film reviewers who have seen these films. There's not a single film of the eight films nominated for Best Picture or for the leading Oscar candidates that's done particularly well at the box office. And The New York Times loves it. What they say is they say the headline is Kindling the Fires of Diversity. And they're very proud of one thing, and it focuses my attention on one of those gigantic lies that is, and unless that lie is corrected, unless it's addressed, unless it's confronted and adjusted, we really are in trouble. I mean, it's a very serious matter. The lie is based on this idea that, okay, this is the most diverse Oscars ever because there are 20 people nominated for the acting awards. Five for Best Actor, five for Best Actress, five for Best Supporting Actor, five for Best Supporting Actress. 20 people. And of those 20 people, nine are people of color. And that's impressive. Sure, that means that the old days of Oscar so white, of people complaining that the Oscars were shutting out people of color. Those days are largely over. What upsets me about this is the idea of how you judge people of color. In other words, if you look at some of the recent lawsuits, particularly lawsuits at Yale and at Harvard and at elite universities about affirmative action, are black people and Asian people really on the same team on some of these issues regarding white supremacy, et cetera, and regarding racism and its impact on society? In other words, given the fact that these lawsuits have been largely brought by Asian American groups, when you talk about the nine people who are people of color, does an immigrant from South Korea really have something profoundly deep and significant in common with a black guy whose family may have been brought here in chains 300 years ago? It's different. This whole idea that the only thing that matters in America is whether you're white or non-white is ridiculous. And again, the notion of celebrating the great diversity of these films, what is not diverse about these films is that none of them has the sort of epic feel that once upon a time one associated with Oscar-nominated movies. For instance, Gladiator. Now, I don't think Gladiator was a particularly great film, but within memory, Gladiator was a film that had an epic feel to it.
Gladiator!
Yeah, that's right. It is announced by Elizabeth Taylor at a Golden Globes. The entire notion of what's going on at the Golden Globes, where they are so repentant. They actually had a number of people of color who won Golden Globe awards, and projects featuring people of color that won Golden Globe awards. But what people were upset about is somebody figured out that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which is mostly people who do movie reviews for newsletters or websites in Latvia or Kazakhstan, I actually do think they have a Kazakh reporter who is a member of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. There were no black people in the 84 people in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So now they have hired a person of color who is an expert on diversity, and they're going to be, of course, expanding the voting group. And again, that leads is based upon the conclusion, which all of this is based on, is that somehow if most of the people here are white and they're from Luxembourg or Belgium Croatia, and that those people have something in common which is going to lead them to vote for other white people. It's basically that assumption is at the very core of, I think, a lot of our problems in the country right now. And the Times, in praising these wonderful Oscar-nominated films, and those films, again, for people who may have seen some of them, and it's possible, and some of them are very, very good films. They're very impressive films. The Father with Anthony Hopkins, about the struggles with memory loss and dementia in old age. Judas and the Black Messiah, which is about Fred Hampton, a wonderfully acted film, by the way, about Fred Hampton, who was a Black Panther leader in Illinois in the 1960s. Briefly, he was shot at the age of 21. Mank, which is about Herman G. Mankiewicz, who is co-credited with the screenplay for Citizen Kane, and was unfortunately a self-destructive alcoholic. This is about his struggles in getting the screenplay done on time for Orson Welles. And so it takes you back to Hollywood in 1941. Minari, which I think, has a chance of winning because Minari is the only one of the major films. It's mostly in Korean with subtitles, but it's about a Korean immigrant family struggling for the American dream, really, in Arkansas. And then Nomadland, where in the New York Times they talk about Nomadland is the first film to highlight the nomad community. Did you know there was a nomad community? Now, what's the difference between a nomad community and a homeless community? The nomads are people who apparently live in their cars or their sport utility vehicles and drive around to various scenic locations and go to campsites and park there. And again, very moving, beautifully done film and promising young woman about an avenging, is she an angel? Is she a devil? An avenger concerned about the rape and destruction of one of her best friends in medical school, and Sound of Metal about hearing loss and the world of heavy metal music, and then Trial of the Chicago 7, which I guess you could say has the best Oscar sort of pedigree because it's about a historical, well-known historical event. And the one thing of which there is so little diversity in Hollywood, and it's something that I was pleased we were able to play some of what Sarah Silverman, who's an occasionally funny comedian, usually just much too self-satisfied and smug, but she was saying that she says this righteousness porn that Hollywood is concerned about today, there may be diversity in national origins here and in the kind of material that is portrayed, but it's all downbeat. And it's all viewed from a relentlessly liberal point of view. Almost no exceptions, certainly among the nominated films. We will be right back on the MedVet Show. Relief Factor is natural. It uses natural anti-inflammatory ingredients to reduce your level of pain, discomfort, stiffness. It really does work. And a 3-week quick start is amazing. It is a great buy. It's $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. You take 3 little packets a day, and you can feel the difference. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor. Did Charles Darwin's work impact society for better or worse? Go to discovery.org/medved and get the free digital book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. Learn how Darwin actually impacted faith, morality, medicine, criminal justice, and much more. Ideas have consequences. For a limited time, get your free copy of Darwin's Three Big Ideas at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com.
I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Medved show, I had mentioned last hour that there was from one of the editors at Seattle Times, who writes for the Northwest Magazine, part of the Seattle Times, every weekend, that there was something I hadn't even noticed, because I frankly didn't read the article. I hate pigeons. They are among my least favorite animals. They poop, they carry all kinds of diseases, they have been described as flying rats, in that sense. They congregate in every city. The article was trying to win a little sympathy for pigeons, and it had some photographs. And I'm sorry, when you look at photographs of these things, does it make you want to eat them? No! Does it make you want to cuddle them? No. And so Ron Judd was acknowledging all that at the beginning of his piece. Well, the piece is called A Coo Reception. I get it? A coo, because pigeons go coo, coo, that kind of thing. Even the sound makes me uncomfortable. In any event, he writes the following. Among the masses of fauna, the pigeon occupies a rung on the human scale of fuzzy affection, somewhere between a common garden slug and the lesser pollywog. And then he goes on, not only are pigeons rarely respected, but they're also often considered like bedbugs, radio talk show hosts, and congressional lobbyists, loathsome pests. Okay, I don't know which I resent more. Well, actually, I do know which I resent more. Being compared to a pigeon, a bed bug, or a congressional lobbyist. A congressional lobbyist depends on what they're lobbying for, but, I mean, really? Radio talk show hosts are considered loathsome pests? Which is why about 25 million Americans every day, at least 25 million Americans, tune in to some kind of conservative-leaning radio talk show. I mean, a loathsome pest? The idea of a loathsome pest is it's tough to get rid of. And certainly bed bugs are. And the idea that with a radio talk show host, it's not hard. No problem. Maybe we should talk to Ron Judd about this, really, to condemn an entire species here. I'm not talking about condemning pigeons. I could go with that. But condemning all radio talk show hosts, it's like I'm condemning all Democratic governors because of Andrew Cuomo. There's a new effort, and it's from the Washington Post, not from anything on the right side of the political spectrum. Eric Wemple is a media critic for the Washington Post, and he went on to CNN to attack that network about their handling of the Andrew Cuomo situation. Listen, this is clip 10.
How would you analyze the media's coverage up until now of Governor Cuomo?
Well, it's been pretty aggressive. I mean, you've had significant contributions by the New York Times, Jesse McKinley, Albany Times Union, Brendan Lyons up there pushing the story forward, New York Post chipping in, Washington Post, all these forces gathering, you know, sort of undoes the right-wing conspiracy theory about the mainstream media, which is that we don't cover Democratic politicians. But I would be remiss, Brian, if I didn't mention CNN's own huge media story here with Chris Cuomo, the anchor at the 9 o'clock hour, who covered Andrew Cuomo and had all these wonderful love-a-thon interviews with him, more than 10 of them. And they suspended the conflict of interest rule for Chris Cuomo for those interviews. Yet all of a sudden they've enforced it again now that Andrew Cuomo is in the midst of an historic scandal in the Albany State House. So I think that that is a major black eye for CNN. I will say that you and other people have covered the Cuomo story very aggressively. So I do want to be fair about this, but it is a major black eye for this network.
And what is unbelievable about that story is it fits with the Gavin Newsom story. Not that there are any reports as of yet about Gavin Newsom having the same kind of hashtag problems that Andrew Cuomo very clearly does have. But if someone had told you at the beginning of this year, right after the election, say, that these two high-flying Democratic governors, both of whom seem to have presidential ambitions, Gavin Newsom in California and Andrew Cuomo in New York, that they both could well, both of them, be out of office by the end of this year, I think folks would have found that tough to believe. There are all kinds of surprises in politics. One of the things that Republicans have to do and surprise people with is highlighted by Gerard Baker in a piece entitled Republicans Need to Get Their Story Straight. And he's right. He writes, Republicans are right, this is in the Wall Street Journal, to be skeptical about the practicality of many of the Democrats' ideas. But by opposing them, they find themselves in an intensely uncomfortable place. Conservatives argue fiercely against Democratic spending plans on the grounds of fiscal restraint. But it rings hollow after decades in which Republican presidents and Congresses have added as enthusiastically as Democrats to the federal debt burden. While Republicans can make the case that their deficits are caused in large part by tax cuts that will over time strengthen economic incentives and lift long-term rates of growth, the deliverance remains off in the future. The American Rescue Plan is easy to oppose as unnecessary, expensive, and mostly irrelevant to the immediate COVID challenge. But by warning of the deficits it will bring the GOP, the GOP puts itself in the position of seeming to worry about deficits only when the federal government is giving money to hard-hit Americans, and not when it involves draining the Treasury's coffers to pay for tax cuts for multinational corporations. Ouch. Now, of course, the answer to that is those tax cuts for multinational corporations encourage them to create more jobs right here in the United States, also help to drive the economy to new levels of prosperity. But this is one of those things about the Biden gamble that Gerald Seib, who's a very solid conservative, writes about. And he writes about comparisons between Joe Biden and Ronald Reagan, that both took big gambles at the beginning of their terms. Reagan knew that if his idea of lowering taxes and by having to fight and scrape to get his first tax cut enacted, and at the same time he was expanding the defense budget, that if that didn't work, if it didn't bring some progress in the Cold War — it ultimately won the Cold War — if it didn't bring some new prosperity to America, he would have been in trouble. And what Gerald Seib is saying is that if Joe Biden's COVID-19 rescue plan doesn't actually work, if we don't have a continued prosperity and building in our economy, a high growth rate, if he doesn't actually do something about the immigration crisis that he is falling, that he is going to lose this gamble the same way that Reagan did. The one thing that he doesn't mention is that it was not a sure thing that everything was going to work out for President Reagan. But President Reagan, even with all of the sympathy and all of the support and admiration that went to him because he survived an assassination attempt, he was also considered very old when he became president. Before Donald Trump, he was the oldest president we had had. And, of course, Biden even older still. Biden's 78. Reagan was 70. The point about this is Reagan, in his first midterm election, lost 25 seats in the House. Now, the Republicans only need to gain 5 seats to take control of the House. And that, of course, could change everything. How does the party position itself to actually do that? We'll get to that and to much more. Sensational discovery in Israel and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
My name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.